Welcome to the overview, guys, where we always do something weird in the very beginning. So how's everybody doing? Welcome, Jason Flame, to the show.
Thanks.
It's like take two. It's only take two on the intro. Gosh, my bad, guys. So I see you still have the Christmas tree up, Flame. So is that like, is that just being lazy or what, man?
It's like a mixture of, so I'm actually getting my downstairs retiled next week, and like all the storage is downstairs. So I don't really want to bring the tree downstairs just so I have to bring it back up when I redo the tile. So I'm just kind of chilling, you know. It's never too late to celebrate Christmas, you know.
Dude,
Christmas cheer is year long.
I mean, it's never too early, I guess, if you look at
that
way.
That's true. Dude, I know some people that literally keep their Christmas tree up 365 days a year.
Some people keep their lights up for like the entire year.
Yeah,
just don't
turn
them on.
That's true. Well, you should turn them on if you have them, man. That's it's like a total waste if you have those up. But there's been a lot of Overwatch to talk about this week, guys. So last week it's supposed to be a little bit light, but this week we've got like tons of stuff. So it's going to start off with our week, of course, and going to include a new segment, which is going to be tip of the week too, just for some folks that listen to the show and might not be, you know, grandmasters or whatnot. We figured we, you know, just throw in some gameplay tips.
Can we have your son give the tip instead of you?
Oh my god!
Isn't
he
better?
Yeah.
Isn't he higher rank?
Yeah. Shut your face, man. One of these days, that'd be pretty funny. Got giving tips to fellow 11-year-olds, that'd be good. And then we're gonna
your son's tip is, don't play with your dad. It's hard to carry him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whatever. All right. Going into news, we've got tons of news, of course. I had a developer update that came out recently. A couple news regarding bans in Korea. Of course, lots of team player roster changes. So maybe a little bit of balance, too. And then, of course, we've got two big events going on. NG East continuing on with lots of, lots of NA teams or not battling it out, and then Apex Season 2 started just a day ago, so lots of good, at least the first two matches there. And then lastly, we got a couple questions, a few email questions, and if you guys want to, you know, contribute to the email questions, you can email us at theoverview@chamanv.tv, and we'll try to get those out, because a lot of listeners that don't watch get a chance to watch us live, they don't get a chance to tweet us any questions or anything when we're live, so emails are the best way, or the way that we're starting to do questions. Okay, so our week in Overwatch, and Jason started the week, or at least maybe late last week, and finally got top 500 after, how many tries did you have? How many gatekeeper?
It was the third try.
Third try. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
It was destined to happen on that one after getting trolls in all my games. No, I actually, so I dropped to 3968, so I lost 50 points because my internet dropped, mm-hmm. So thanks for that one. But then over my Saturday and Sunday, I lost two games total and went from 3968 all the way up to 4320.
Holy shit.
So,
okay.
I had a pretty good couple days there. Yeah.
That sounds like it. Holy crap.
I mean, I don't have to punch my desk anymore. You know, my blood pressure's down. It's great.
You're totally.
But I haven't played since, and I've already lost top 500. So that makes me kind of sad.
Well, I mean, it's, you know. Creep, of course.
It went from like 4315 to 4325. It went up 10
oh my
points
God.
In 2 days, and I lost my top 500. But whatever, I had it.
That's
I
how active
season.
It is, man. You know, when you're 499, what do you expect, dude? I mean, it's gonna be.
I was like, I think it was like three. What was the picture? Like 380? I don't know. 380.
Oh my God, you're 300
something.
There's
a lot
something?
Of people resting on like bottom of top 500.
Yeah, it must be super close. And it's too bad Ben's not here too, because he actually got Grandmaster too, right? I believe. So it was a big week for at least the host. Not me, though, guys. Not me.
My bad.
What?
482. My bad. I thought it was higher.
Okay, yeah, 482. So, yeah, that's, you know, congrats on that. I know that was, like, a huge goal of yours. So, I mean, what are you going to do the rest of the time? You're just going to just goof off, or any
no,
particular rank you're shooting for? Any rank you're shooting for?
No. It was just top 500. I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to slack off and be that guy in comp who, like, oh, yeah, I got top 500. I don't need to care anymore. But I'm also not going to play nearly as much on comp until, like, I'm comfortable to get back into it again.
Yeah. The season should be ending soon, right, guys? It's, like, is it the end of this month?
I would guess March, but I don't know.
Is it March? Okay, I get all mixed up. With
I feel like it's probably going to be, like, Valentine's Day or something, right? Because usually, like, 2 weeks off and then the beginning of the month. I don't know.
All right, so we still got a month. Okay, solid month. How about you, Flame? I know you played 13 straight hours.
Well, like one day, I climbed to like top, I don't know, it was like top 150 or something. And then I lost a game that had a bunch of trolls. So I stopped playing and I switched to my alt account. And then, yeah, I did the 13 hour stream. That was pretty, it was an experience to say the least. Like you start at 8 o'clock, the games are fine. You're in like the zone of like, I want to win every game. And then like, as you keep going, you start realizing like, okay, I got a troll in this game. This is a loss. And then you get a troll and then you're like, okay. And then you start viewing losses as just like not wins. You don't view them as losses. They're just like delayed wins because there was nothing you could have done.
That's but good. That's a good mindset.
I mean, my sleep schedules. Yeah, yeah. It was like, that's I don't want to say it was revolutionary, but definitely changed my mentality. Like you start viewing losses as just like, we'll get this back next game, I guess.
Right. But, right. That's good.
It was definitely rough. But yeah, I messed up my sleep schedule, but I was able to catch some of Apex due to the fact that my sleep schedule is so destroyed. God. So
gamers,
it paid off in some regards. That's
life of a gamer. It's like,
you can't. We came out on top, but it wasn't.
What'd you end up getting to?
I don't know, like 42. I think I peaked at like 42.50. I think I was like one game away from top 500 on that account, but.
Okay. Cool.
I think that's I ended at like 42 exact or something.
I saw you playing on your Smurf. Someone was streaming. It was a Zarya player. I can't remember who. But there was a guy streaming one of your games, and everyone kept saying it was you playing, and you were pissing him off really bad. You kept taking his health pack.
Oh, it was Harblue.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. You took Harblue his health was, pack, no. And like, he got some of this.
Yeah, so Harblue was streaming, and Harblue gets a load of viewers. And my chat isn't really that big. I have like maybe like 200 or 150 viewers. But they're all like dual streaming because the people in my chat know that Harblue's streaming. So then the people in Harblue's stream think that I'm IDDQD because IDDQD actually has the same Smurf as me. So all of Harblue's chat, which is like this 1,000 people, are just calling me IDDQD the entire time because they're complaining about my Tracer. So like, oh my God, IDDQD is so good at Tracer. But like, it's really mean. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. So that was pretty funny. But after that game, it went downhill because me and Harblue were on the same team the next game and we had like a troll. And then that was like the beginning of the end at like 5 a.m. The fact that they were playing was crazy.
Did you tilt queue? Because that's the fucking worst.
Well, it's not tilt queue when it's like 13, when it's like 10 hours in, you know? It's like your brain's you're actually just shut off. You're like, you're just, yeah, you're like, comatose queue. I'm just playing Overwatch, man. Like right. The games, you're like, I see Zombie. Slasher in chat, but like it gets to 5 a.m. and you're like, who's even queuing at this time? Like you see Slasher duo queuing. I'm like, you get Hanamura, you're like, all right, this is over. But it was good. I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good experience because I've been so. I think it was yesterday where it was like the last day before the brawl reset or whatever, or the arcade resets and gives you those loot boxes again. So I hadn't done any of them, right? So I got the first six done like over the weekend with my son. So we got two loot boxes. So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna do like the last three or two or whatever. And dude, I lost like at least ten straight mystery hero games over and over again. And I kept getting matched up. They were completely misbalanced. So I don't even know if they even balance for any of that stuff. But they should, because literally I was getting matched up with a bunch of people that were like level 15 and 20. And then the other team were these guys that had like 4 stars and 3 stars. So they were just like camping our spawns. And like our guys couldn't even get out of the spawn. It was so terrible. So
I just don't think there's that many people playing Mystery Heroes. So
you shouldn't match. It shouldn't still be like that. It should still be like half of us should have the 3-star guys and the other half. It was literally like 6 guys that were 2, 3, 4 stars. And then my team, I was like the only person with stars. That's like crazy.
Yeah, that happens in rank too, though. Like sometimes you'll get games where the enemy team will have 2 3-stacks and you'll be 6 solo queue, or like 2 2-stacks and you'll be 6 solo queue. But like you would think that it would try to balance that a little bit better.
Yeah.
I find Mystery Heroes to be like really enjoyable though.
Me too. Like I use it just to,
Topic of Mystery Heroes, but it's it's weirdly snowbally, and like sometimes you get really mad because there's nothing you can do. Because like I had a game, I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago. I just played it for the hell of it.
Yeah.
But the enemy team had like 2 Soldier 76s and a Reinhardt, and I had like 2 Bastions and a Hanzo.
it's like full sky,
and you're like, I can't actually do anything. This
yeah.
Is not,
no, there's definitely some compositions that are just really hard to break if you don't have the right heroes on the right map. I enjoy Mystery Heroes too. Like me and my son play it, like we always play it just to get all the loot boxes in arcade. But man, It was really bad. And I'm like, okay, surely Blizzard's just going to put me with some OP. Like, I'm not supposed to lose this many times, right? Blizzard doesn't want us to lose this many times. So I should be get like an easy stomp. I can just finish these loot boxes. There's like an hour left. I'm like, okay, let's just do this. Nope, I just kept losing. So I never got that last loot box. I was like, crap, this sucks. So yeah, maybe Blizzard, if you can balance that at least based on experience level, that'd be great. but let's do tip of the week. I know surely you guys have some tips to give. I know Jason, you were definitely had one on in mind that you wanted to say. Dude, you told me you wanted to give a tip.
You got no proof.
Whatever.
Never mind. Yeah, so one of the tips I have that I see a lot of people struggle with, and this kind of relates to a topic we have coming up later on, about Reinhardt. I played a majority of Reinhardt in my comp games because no one ever played him, and I always played Phil. People always complain about, like, you can't keep your shield up. You can't maintain it, which obviously you can't when you have a D.Va and a Roadhog and a Soldier on the enemy team. But a tip that I don't see most people doing with him is always flicker your shield. Like, when you're moving, you don't necessarily need to keep it up the entire time because you need to take damage anyways for Ana to build up bullet percent. Right. So, like, one thing I do is I always make sure to jump without my shield on and then turn it back on. Kind of, or you jump, put your shield back on, then you kind of land, so you keep your momentum, you keep your speed, but also I purposely take damage when I know, like, the Roadhog hook is down and maybe when the Bardic grenade is down. So if you, like, maintain those cooldowns, you can actually keep your shield up a lot longer if your D.Va is not helping you maintain your shield percent. So, yeah, just a little bit of a tip. But if any of you guys are playing Reinhardt out there, you'll notice a huge difference if you do that a lot more.
Yeah. Just don't take damage from Reinhardt.
Only when the hook's down, though. You have to be really careful of that. Because if your teammates get hooked because you know sure as hell they will, it kind of is your fault.
Don't take Flame Strike hits on purpose either, guys. That's never good. But yeah, that's definitely good advice. Flame, you got any advice? Just like tidbits? I mean, we probably want to do this every week. So
yeah, and I have some tidbits, but I think my biggest pet peeve right now is that I'm not going to call out my viewers, but I've watched my viewers, some of my like subs viewers, because like they'll stream too. Like if you're in, I guess this applies to any SR, but I guess the ones where you can convince your teammates to listen to you on microphones, so probably like Diamond and above, I would
assume.
Right,
yeah, for sure.
If your team has zero ults and you're on defense, like the play isn't to like sit back and wait for these ults to just magically appear. It's to literally suicide your entire 6-man team onto the cart and die to get your ults up. And, like, I see this not happen even in, like, Grandmaster. Like, people try so hard to live, but then they just get staggered way later than they need to be. And then you wind up letting the cart roll. Then, like, usually your healer's last one to die. And instead of suiciding on the cart, they die 10 seconds later. So the cart gets 10 free seconds of roll time. I don't know. That's, like, my tip is die on the cart. Like, stop trying to live when you're on defense.
Yeah, okay.
You have to, like, ingrain that in, like, the entire Overwatch community's mind, and I think the world will be a better place.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, it's yeah, it's so hard to do that. It's especially when you're where I am, but no, those are definitely good tips, and especially the Reinhardt one, because I'm a Reinhardt man too, Jason, so totally relate to that.
I could go on for days about Reinhardt.
Yeah, well, we're gonna do a little bit every single week, so we don't want to like just go on and on and on, but we're gonna continue doing this each and every week, guys, just because, you know, I it'd be nice for folks to pull some gameplay knowledge from everybody on the show too. Okay, let's move on to news. So Jeff ended up doing another developers update video that talked a little bit about PTR and their philosophy with PTR, as well as a few comments on just the balancing of Sombra, Ana, D.Va, and what they're, you know, currently thinking about each of those heroes. So why don't we talk about, I guess, the comments they had on PTR, which is surprisingly has a lot to do with console. I mean, obviously he's answering some questions about console too, but apparently the PTR and the length of the PTR has a lot to do with just the approval process of the console version, because Microsoft and PlayStation, they each have, you know, certain requirements that you have to reach, right, to be able to release your game on those consoles. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times we just were thinking PTR, yeah, it's just purely about testing balance and all this good stuff. But apparently, you know, it's definitely more to that. So I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on just that portion of it? Jason, I know you didn't get a chance to watch it, but maybe Flame, you, any thoughts on just that portion of it?
I mean, their hands are tied, right? There's no, like, counterplay for Blizzard to do anything about that. It's like plagued a lot of companies, I think, in the past. Like, this isn't like a problem exclusive to them. Yeah. Like when Evolve came out, I remember it would be like PC patch would come out for like January, and then they'd have to wait until February to like re-release, to like release the exact same patch that came out on console and or PC in January. So
right.
I guess from a player perspective, it's kind of frustrating because you don't know, like you don't, obviously it feels like you don't have as much impact on the patch during PTR, because obviously it's hard for them to change it, because if they have to change the patch mid PTR, that means they probably have to recertify the patch for the consoles later.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like from that angle, it makes sense. And like, it explains some of the frustrations, I guess, a lot of the players have. Because yeah. like I think one of the things that Jeff touched upon was that he does take feedback seriously, and like they all mm-hmm. do take yep. feedback, but I think it's more feedback proactively for PTR as opposed to like during, which makes sense, you know. So I don't know, it is what it is, you know.
At least we know that there's something logistical in the background that does take place, and you know that there is a reason why some of the timings are the way they are. Yeah, every time they make a change, like if they alter Roadhog again, I don't know if they have to like resubmit a build, you know, to Sony.
No, they probably more or less definitely do, and that's
yeah,
kind of,
that's it's
unless you have like a really good in, I think, at Xbox or Sony to like get you, I don't know, expedited or something. Maybe yeah. there's a way to do that, but I don't know the process well enough. So
I don't know. I would hope they would do the changes first. Like obviously it takes a lot longer, but go 2 weeks, see what the community thinks, do changes you think should be changed, and then go through the submittal process.
It would take even longer.
What would that accomplish from like a timeline standpoint?
Well, then we wouldn't have this patch maybe with like quad tanks if they like tested D.Va a little bit more and took. I don't know. It's just like thoughts, right? Like it maybe if they tested D.Va a little bit more and those changes were implemented then instead of now, we wouldn't have this boring stun meta. I'm pretty sure most people would have been more than happy to wait an extra 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 2 weeks ideally if you do like a 2 week window. Then play this meta for the past month or two.
Unless you're envious. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Well, I think it would have been longer than 2 weeks. Like, I think 2 weeks is a little bit underestimation as to, you know, how much... Like, part of... I think a lot of the community, we complain about, or we enjoy the fact that they make changes so quickly, right? And then, on the same note, like, you know, we're complaining about meta getting to a certain state, you know, like, especially with this tank meta that we currently have. So... We can't have both, right? So I still prefer them making changes a little bit quicker. And, you know, for them, logistically, they're probably submitting the build like every time they make a change in hopes that it does work, because there's probably no penalty probably for submitting to Sony. You know, like when you're getting approval by any app store or whatever it is, you just go ahead and send the build even when you're testing it, just because you want it to be released, you know, at least you time it so that your testing period matches up with possible release, and then you cancel it last minute, like if you have like an update to it or whatever. So I think logistically it's fine. It's just it was interesting to hear him talk about PTR on consoles being still a possibility. Like, how does that even work? How do you do a PTR on consoles?
I mean,
like, have you ever had a game on PlayStation or Xbox that was PTR? I mean, we've had betas, right? But I think we've had beta games, right, on those consoles. I'm not much of a console.
There's
player,
definitely
so.
Been beta games, and there's definitely yeah. been like, what's those, like the preview, what, I don't know what they're called, like the demos.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe you need like, I want to say that's more of a pipe dream from him. I don't know. I like logistically from what Jason's saying too, you have to realize, I think the problem with the 25% ult nerf patch that like led to this whole tank meta thing, and like all the nerfs that they put in on Ana and like Mei and Zarya, I think also got screwed by the Christmas update. Like, I think that they were mid PTR and then they had a release plan for the Christmas update. Like, that was completely separate from any of the PTR changes. So like, they knew that they wanted to add all these models, all these skins, all these maps. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was, like, instead of trying to bundle them separately, they did them all at once.
I feel like that's
what happened in that specific case.
Okay.
But like right now you're seeing, obviously they're not trying to rush it, because like we still don't have the live patch, but it's been like 2 months of, or it's been like, it feels like it's been two or three weeks of PTR.
But it's been weeks.
No, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I don't know. You know,
it's weird. Another thing you talked about was just incentives, for playing PTR, right? And we on the show have even made a few suggestions, but it sounds like the most popular ones have been, you know, loot boxes or possible XP for playing in the PTR, which, yeah, I think that would be great. I don't know how they connect them. I guess they could probably connect the accounts in some way, but right now I feel like I have a different account, right? It's a completely separate account, and a lot of times it's a copy. It's like the very beginning of the PTR is literally a copy of my account because loot boxes I haven't opened exist, you know, whenever I log into the PTR. It's like, oh, these are exactly the same boxes as the one I just, you know, like I opened in production. So I don't know how you do that, but I think before I suggested maybe doing some small events, you know, maybe just some small open tournaments that people could join. I don't know. It might be too hard to logistically organize all the time, but it could be just like simple Chalant, you know, just whatever site you want to use to just put up an open tournament. But it'd be kind of cool if there were events that could encourage the community to play in it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, a problem with that, I guess, is scheduling and like
just whoever can
really
play.
Tell us. Well, I mean, do they ever? Yeah, I mean, I can. But I guess do they ever really tell us when PTR is going to come? Like, do we ever know when to expect it? It's like stuff like that that makes it a little weird. I think one of the suggestions I've seen is just give us competitive points for playing ranked and like make it like triple value or something. Like literally give me like 20 points instead of 10. Or maybe not triple, but like 20. Maybe every win on PTR is 20 competitive points instead of 10 or whatever. So people like actually try really hard to win. Okay. And then people actually want to go over because then they get golden guns faster and stuff. Like that might be really cool.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
Like,
yeah, it's along the lines of
just like
boxes.
A way. Yeah, because I understand why they don't want to do loot boxes, because you don't want the you don't want the console players to feel like, oh my god, why are these players allowed to play on the new patch and get loot boxes and stuff? And then like it becomes like a weird balance game in that regard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless you make everything available. I mean, whatever you give to these people is going to be excluding the console.
Yeah.
Players, so you can't get around that. That's just going to happen.
Something that makes like League of Legends PTR really fun and something that people enjoy playing is you have new skins there. Like you can test new skins before you actually can buy them in game. And that way you get to like, oh, there's this new Zenyatta skin. I want to see how it looks in game. I want to see how it looks with golden orbs. Like mm-hmm. I want to test it out, see the new graphics for it and stuff. And then that's something that always encourages a lot of people to play for League of Legends on the PTR, as well as like new heroes, obviously.
Yeah, but that only lasts so much. You know, it's like they'll play a few games and then be done with it. It's kind of like when Symmetra came out, right, with the big changes. And people went and played it for a day or two, and then that was it. They seem to be getting data. They seem to be looking at the analytics for it, which is apparently useful. But I feel like there's, you know, I don't know. My experience is that I feel like very little people play in the PTR after like a day or two. And if you're really trying out these crazy balances, and, you know, Jason, you're getting at it, why don't you just leave it in the PTR for a couple more weeks and see how it works? Well, it doesn't matter if nobody's playing it in a very true environment. Or at least a highly competitive.
PTR.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no advantage to play it. Like, if I'm casting, I don't want to think of a change that happened on PTR and then accidentally talk about it like it's live.
Yeah.
Like, it literally gets me zero benefit to do that, except know what's coming, like, up in the next patch.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I was thinking, you know, if you had this, like, PTR event, you know, that it was just every time we release a PTR, we do this cool event for, like, a week or something, that might encourage the community to go over there, at least more, you know, just, like, another 5%, 10% of the people. That would be awesome. That'd be awesome, at least for data. Might be cool. But another bit of news, we got, another post from, I believe it was Jeff. Let me see. Actually from Jeff. Let me show you guys too. Yeah, it was actually from Jeff. And it talks about Reinhardt. And it says, since November, D.Va is the third most played hero in Overwatch. Roadhog is 4. And it's like, okay, yeah, can understand that. But Reinhardt is the 12th most played hero in Overwatch, which is shocking to me. So he's basically pointing out that, you know, whatever we feel like at least at the highest competitive level is a must pick, it's not necessarily the meta, you know, in terms of the casual players. But does this surprise you, this statistic?
Not at all. He's
really
fucking boring to play. You can't do shit with him by yourself. Like, he's not a Roadhog who can heal himself and insta kill someone. He's not a D.Va who can just fly away constantly and mitigate a lot of damage. Like, you literally need a healer, and how many people actually run healers in quick play? Like, it honestly makes perfect sense. Like, even in the current meta, he's not fun. You can put your shield up, yeah, great, but then you have a Roadhog, Soldier, D.Va spamming it. Great, I don't have a shield anymore. It's just he's not fun in that way. He's more based.
He's not fun as an individual player. Yeah, sure. I can understand that. Flame, what do you think?
I mean, Reinhardt's probably like the most fun hero to like play, I think, in ranked. But it's only because like you get your insta kill, you just club people down, and like I don't think there's anything more exciting than like hitting a 3-man Urshar, like a 4-man Urshar. But like I guess at lower levels that doesn't happen. You just get baited by your team, and nobody's behind your shield, and you just die.
So well, the biggest thing is you don't get pocket healed either. Like by your
oh yeah, yeah. If you're playing with a good Ana, like Reinhardt's probably one of the most fun heroes in the game. But yeah. I guess my takeaway from that is, does that data matter? I mean, that was more or less my negative. I mean, obviously, right? I always look at the negatives, right? That's kind of my thing. But why? Like, because I sent him an email. Well, because I sent him an email, right? Actually, like, I actually emailed Jeff last week or 2 weeks ago about like what I thought the problem was with the tank meta as opposed to like just Ana's OP or D.Va's OP. And he sent me back something about like how Mercy's actually number one healer picked in the game.
Right.
And but like I'm thinking to myself, like, does that matter? Like, and I think that that's kind of the thing that I take away from that point too, is like, does it matter that D.Va has higher pick rate than Reinhardt? Like, does that mean Reinhardt's not balanced or something? Like, or does that mean like D.Va's more powerful than Reinhardt? Like, there's like this weird, I think.
Well, it doesn't.
I'm coming from a competitive perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
I have an issue with the concept of looking at PTR data, like, you know, for statistical things. Because well, I find it so hard to find like real meta changing or like game understanding things from the data that's in the PTR games, which are like balanced from GM to gold in the same game. Like, I don't know. It's kind of my takeaway sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, well, the PTR data, this is what we were alluding to just a second ago, is, you know, I don't feel like is the most beneficial thing. I mean, it's useful. I mean, any kind of data is useful from your player base, but, you know, I don't think it's probably as rich as it could definitely be. Not even close, obviously, to production, but it's tough. You know, as a designer, especially a designer that, you know, you have a casual mode, you basically have casual and highest level of competitive play in the same boat, you know, like the content's exactly the same. It's tough being a designer and trying to for figure sure. it out, but it does matter, you know, like it matters for sure as a game developer, like those stats, like if Mercy.
Well, so like I guess, but like when you look at it that way, do you think that they're like afraid to touch Mercy because they think that Mercy is like already the highest pick rate, so like why would they nerf her or like buff her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean,
but that's like in my eyes, that's a problem. I don't know. That's, I guess.
I mean, it can be, you know, like the way you touch. I mean, they can change her. It's just they have to be careful of how they change her, right? Like, you can do things that are going to be more conducive for like casual players versus, you know, the top level players, but they have to take that into account. Frequency of pick is generally some like one of the parameters you use to shake things up, right? Like, we don't want.
In quick play, though, it shouldn't be like.
Really,
I think the win percent, like average win percent of that hero, is more of a valuable, like statistic.
I think that's that's the highest one. I believe. I mean, I, right. I agree with still, you there, but
even still, like I've seen platinum. It doesn't matter like how broken you make. Say who's even broken right now, like D.Va,
just
or
like
Ana,
Torb, like, or something like that, right? Torb's probably much more useful at lower levels.
But I'm saying like people think that Ana is like the consensus is that Ana is like a broken hero right now, right?
Not
like
at lower levels.
She's too strong and they're nerfing her.
Yeah.
But if you're in platinum and you're playing Ana and like there's an Ana in platinum, like you could give her nuke like 300% healing, like they probably yeah. still would find a way to lose with it. Like that's kind of what I think thinking line.
Yeah, I mean, frequency is definitely not as important as win percentage, but it is something to look at too. I think when both of them align, when you're talking about top level play aligning with casual play, when like say Mercy's just picked 100%, then that's when they, you know, try to look at all the other characters, and we've seen that, right? We've actually been in metas where that's the case. My only point was that you have to look at it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Bastion.
Yeah, like in quick play, he was overpowered, but in comp play, he wasn't at all because people know how to play around it. So right. You can't balance it necessarily in a way that makes it not as strong in quick play, but like you have to be careful to not affect comp at the same time. I don't know. It's really, I would not want to be a balancer because of how difficult it is.
Yeah, I mean, like in my eyes, I think they're going to nerf Symmetra, but I don't think Symmetra needs to be nerfed. I would not be surprised if they nerf Symmetra soon.
Yeah.
But like, personally, I think Symmetra is like,
I don't think she's that bad either. Yeah.
I mean, she's a little ridiculous, but you have to switch heroes to beat her, and like, right. That's part of the game. So, but like at lower levels, nobody switches. They're like, oh, I'm locking in Hanzo. Why can't we beat the Symmetra? Like, you know, true. It's like
shooting through the shield.
It's definitely a weird problem, and I definitely feel for them, but I don't know how to go about it other than,
yeah.
Not looking at other data. Well, I don't know.
I just wanted to point that statistic out because I thought it might be interesting to some folks, just given our perception of, you know, what's being played a ton and whatnot. But another bit of news. So Blizzard responding to all the hacks that are happening in Korea. We knew they were doing things. It was like, of course, we knew Blizzard was going to act in some way in regards to all these people that are doing it in Korea. And this week they announced that they banned 10,000 accounts, as well as they are suing this company Bossland, who is a developer for hacking tools. Not particularly, I don't know, think they're the maker of the nuking tool, but they do make things like map hacks and things like that. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, Blizzard going after companies that make these tools instead of just banning the players that use them. You know, going after the source is obviously a much more effective way of doing it. So good to see. Yeah. Any thoughts on this?
Good riddance.
Good riddance. Yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's hard. Like, because I don't think that they're all like individual accounts. I'm pretty sure in Korea, though, you have to like associate a social security number to your account. Mm-hmm. So there's probably like literally just 10,000 people who can't play right now. But I don't know how that works as far as ban evasion, like how you even go around.
Isn't
that.
PC bongs that you don't need that? You don't have to have a social security number to play. That's so right. Then how many of those accounts are like PC bong accounts, and how many of those are like legitimate? I link my social security to my account numbers.
Well, you think, isn't PC bong like the equivalent of like a LAN cafe?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you think, like, do you just ban an entire LAN cafe? Like, I feel like you'd still need some sort of login, right? I don't know. It depends on how the hacks are loaded. There's, like, a weird thing there, right? I mean, I know what you're saying. I just don't, like, can you ban a cafe? Like, I don't.
That would suck for the cafe, man. If you just basically shut down their business.
Like, that's what I mean. You would literally shut down their business. Like, are they banning the LAN cafe accounts, or are they banning, like, actual people? Like, that's right. I guess you could go cheat at the LAN cafe, but does that work? I don't know how that works.
There has to be something. I mean, there has to be some kind of connection with your, you know, your user account versus the PC bong. I don't know how PC bongs work, so it's hard for me to make a comment.
Do you think that they would just like beat people up, right? There's like videos of that, right? There's like a famous video of like a kid getting beat up at LAN for cheating. Like they find out he cheats. I don't know what country it was in, but I know for a fact I've seen it on YouTube.
I think it was a DreamHack, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like it was a DreamHack.
Is it DreamHack?
I feel like it was, but it was like, it was just
cracking down.
It was like in the BYOC area.
Yeah, it was like in a really small room. It was funny, but like, I mean, it wasn't
all these
funny.
People dressed in Blizzard shirts going to be.
No, I'm just imagining like you're at a PC, you're in a LAN cafe, and you see the guy next to you's aimbotting. Like, do you just call him out? Like, do you just leave him there?
Random people self policing. Oh, I see what you.
Yeah, do you duo queue with them? Exactly, it's like an integrity thing. I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
I'm looking at this in another way, though. Like, I'm happy to see Blizzard, you know, being proactive and banning his accounts and suing Bossland. But where's their anti cheat? Where's their VAC like helps take care of this stuff, like about the hacks that have already been detected and stuff? Like, where's
Overwatch?
Anti-cheat? Yeah.
Overwatch. That's the big joke, right?
I want to see some anti-cheat. Like, so you don't have to wait for an account to get banned after it's been playing tons. And if it's already detected tack, like in CS, it immediately gets banned away. I don't know. I wonder if there is any like anti-cheat being worked on.
And there has to be, right? They're playing a league. I don't think you can release it without it.
And what people that might not be familiar with Overwatch and CSGO is that Overwatch is this third-party app that you have that you run, and it basically checks.
I'm thinking of something else. Reddit too much, man.
Am I thinking of something
Overwatch
else?
Overwatch is literally something you can do in the game.
It's in the game. The
You download a demo. You click. Overwatch or whatever the button's called, you watch the demo, it shows you the key rounds where people highly reported hacks and what is suspicious activity. Cool. And at the end of the match, you check marks of like, yeah, he's very suspicious, or not enough evidence to tell, or he's not cheating, and like different categories for like aimbot, wall hack.
But they whitelist people, right?
Griefing. No. You have to be like level, like a certain, you have to play like certain amount of competitive matches to do it, like 50 competitive matches or something, and then you can do it. So like you, I can't individually ban someone, but I can put my vote in if I think someone's cheating, that if there's enough, you know, people thinking he's cheating, then they get banned.
I mean, we have feedback system right now that you can leave, right? As, I mean, isn't hacking, hacking's one of the choices, right? Like abusive chat and...
Yeah, but you can't physically see it unless you're on the enemy team of them, okay. Or they're on the enemy team, because you don't actually see the wall hack. Yeah. You could just kind of guess at it, but in Overwatch, you're watching like a demo, or in CS, you're watching like literally a demo of this person playing.
Oh, I see.
So you're watching a full playthrough in their first-person perspective about what happens.
Okay. All right, that's.
But we don't have demos in the
game,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the next step is to actually get replays and demos, and then be able to maybe implement that. I agree, though. It'd be nice if we had our own system that we can, that could help them with this instead of.
I want to point out, I've never ran into a hacker, and I've been playing like 6 hours a day or something. I have literally never encountered one, and everyone on West Coast says they see them all the time, like. People on East Coast even say that they see it. I have literally never seen one.
I had a hacker in one of my games, in like two or three of my games, and he lost. We actually beat him because...
How do you know, Jason? Like,
because I saw him when I died snapping to people's heads the entire time.
Okay. There's some obvious.
Okay,
He was aim hacking, and we actually beat him in a King of the Hill. But the match before that, the match after that, we did draws, thank God. I can't remember his name. Off the top. It was like rank 30 too. Like he was super high already.
Feels bad. When you're hacking and you still lose, man.
Any of you guys see the video of Timer? There was a clip. It was so funny. I think he was in Korea during season one, and like the team's trying to draw the map out, but you can't draw on payload maps because if the cart moves like half an inch, you can't like exactly tie.
Right.
So it's like at the
Israel,
end.
Israel, thank you. Sorry.
They're like trying to tie, and everyone thought that he was like being an ass. But like at the end, everyone's sitting on the cart, and I think red team thought that they were gonna pull a fast one on them and like not let them push the cart at all. But Taimu comes out and pops whole hog while everyone's like AFK sitting on the cart and just caps and wins the game. But like if he hadn't, like everyone was calling him out and like making fun of him in chat and saying like, oh my god, that's so BM. But like he did it because if he didn't do it, they would have lost to the cheating team. But everyone, it was like it's just such a funny thing that like players are actually forcing ties now in ranked, and like that's like a common thing.
Oh, it's very common in Korea, too, we learned when we were there. Like, very common.
Can I tell a story, actually? I was playing in my 13-hour stream, and someone was stream sniping me and called out my comp to the enemy team. Like, on the enemy team, someone was stream sniping.
Okay.
So someone on the enemy team actually started throwing, so we would draw the match.
Oh, that's... I guess like, that's cool.
Some people
that's
are just
cool.
Really good people, you know? Yeah. That's my positive story for the week.
But it still sucks for the other people on their team, too. So it's like...
He forced the draw. I was down.
Oh, he forced the draw. Okay.
Yeah, that's the enemy team player went Bastion and just started shooting the walls.
That brings up a good thing, too, that somebody suggested. And I think it was a competitive Overwatch subreddit, right? Right, where there's a, you know, a draw prompt that comes up if you guys want to force a draw or whatever. Just if both teams agree to a draw, you guys can have a draw. A lot of discussion about that because some people think it's a way to skirt certain maps and things like that. But overall, I don't think it's a bad mechanic. I actually kind of like that. What do you guys think of it?
Just depends on the amount of people you need required from each team. Like in CS, it's technically not a number, it's a percent. So when there's 5 people in the game, you need 4 people to vote yes.
I see. Some people leaving and stuff like that.
You can vote kick. You can vote kick basically, and you need like 4 people to vote yes out of 5. And then if there's 4 people, you need 3 out of 4. So basically, like 1 under the max, or whatever, or 1 over the halfway point.
Okay.
I can see it working pretty well if you put the number at like 5 for Overwatch. If like 5 people from each team vote to draw, like I don't want to sit there in a game that it's going to be a draw anyways because there's a cheater and have to wait, you know, with like 10 minutes, 15 minutes for the game to finish.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like Dorado where you have to push the payload to force the draw.
Yeah. I mean, my issue, I don't want to say my issue with that, but what would happen is people would just start queuing Volskaya and that would just be the instant.
Yeah. There would be skirting maps, no question. And that's the biggest negative for doing it. But I do like that sort of thing, you know, going down that route to try to, you know, just reset games, you know, games that start even on a bad note, that's past the timer, you know, that initial timer that resets games by automatically. So it's something to consider. It's just, how do you get around, you know, skipping maps and stuff? Hopefully, if they ever, well, not hopefully, but if they ever get to a point where, you know, putting map preferences is already a thing, then something like this would actually be a little, a much more accepted than it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways, right? You just say, like, if five people report someone on their own team for hacking, maybe there's a problem.
Yeah, exactly, right? Know, like, that would be fine.
The only part that gets scary is if you have, like, a five-man queue.
Yeah,
they want to fuck over someone, right? And then they're like, it's, I don't know, like, I wouldn't be against it just because it'd be nice to just move on already from the game, but there's definitely a lot of abuse that could happen from it.
Happens in Dota.
There will be abuse.
It's happening a lot in Dota right now, actually. Like,
oh, is it?
A lot of the pro players this week have been getting low prio. I don't know, like, they don't know who's been reporting them, but there's, like, this, like, weird NA Dota pact where all the pros just keep winding up in low prio this week. And
was it Arteezy that got low priority?
It's not just Arteezy. It's like Arteezy, EE. Like half the streamers, like Sing Sing had it. Like half the streamers are literally just getting low prio nonstop this week.
Wow. Okay. But that's,
it's just side effects, you know? I think Ice Frog winds up putting them on like a exempt list eventually, but.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, problems, obviously.
Okay, let's talk about team and player news. So a few players, you know, signing and, you know, changing rosters, and we got, you know, a little bit of swapping of certain roles. Start things off with Fnatic signs Hafikul, and I think a lot of us saw that coming. Not much of a surprise. I don't know, any of you guys surprised about that?
Happy carries,
yeah,
man.
I mean, he's been playing well for a long time now with them, so good stuff. JKW no longer on the Complexities active roster, and we've seen Winghaven sub for him, or at least playing for them in NGE. Any
that kind of surprised me.
Hmm? Yeah?
Yeah, like, I don't know, it just kind of surprised me. Like, JKW seemed to be fine on the team. He was a good tank. Like, I don't know exactly why he decided to do it. Was it a team decision? Was it his decision to, like, focus on something else?
Pretty sure they cut him. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, all right,
oh,
so
really?
There's been a lot of drama this past 2 weeks. Like, I'll touch on a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that they, like, asked him or, like, to sit out, and they were, like, trying out Winghaven. But then they released, so, like, they released JKW, but I'm, like, this is, I'm, don't shoot the messenger, but I talked to Tweezy last week, and he said that Winghaven might be playing with him on his new team. If that goes through.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm not even sure if Cole knows that or who's, like, who's playing who right now, but there's, like, a weird thing there where I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Winghaven's actually, like, on the Complexity, like,
he's so popular,
permanent
man.
List thing right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, but there's
whatever,
something,
man.
Yeah, there might be some
someone's
interesting drama
get,
going on. Somebody's going to be screwed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He seems to be playing fine with Complexity. I mean, Complexity's been doing so-so in NG, but yeah, I think JKW was doing, yeah, I agree. I don't feel like it was very clear that he was the weak point on their team. So I was just assuming it was personal things again, you know, just some kind of
personality
conflict.
Personal,
yeah, some kind of personal conflict or personality conflict.
But I would think that that's, Complexity is one of the one, like, probably the only team right now that I would think that wouldn't happen to, because they have a coach and they have a manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, it must have gotten to some weird breaking point where someone just didn't want to play with someone else. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I could give. Because I thought he was great. Like, I think JKW and Shaker probably, like, I think they're the two best players, or were the two best players on that team.
Wow. Okay. Good deal. Next bit of news, a pretty big one. We've got Gods, who's been a free agent for, I don't know, weeks now, joins C9, Cloud9, and Kai, who was, you know, part of the roster, of course, is, well, it was announced that he was removed from the active roster, right? Or at least it sounded like he was benched to me. I didn't know what was going on with Kai, but then now we're hearing that he's temp coaching for Envious over in Korea, or he is trying out to be coach over there. So obviously not just a benching. This is... Is he officially not part of Cloud9 now? Do you guys know?
Okay. This is a long story, actually.
So great.
I don't know if I'm releasing too much, but he wasn't the only person that they were thinking. I'll say that. He wasn't the only person they were thinking about removing. They've been trying to figure out who to remove, actually, for, like, the past couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
So they've been trying out Gods on actually different people's roles. It wasn't just Kai's. So I think what happened was they decided that they were having the most success when he was replacing Kai Kai, because they were having trouble, obviously. I think they were losing a lot of scrims from what I heard. But from Kai Kai's perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense to do what he did. Like, you don't want to coach your own team. I think that you want someone that's an outside source.
A new voice, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, or just like someone that you don't want to like promote your coworker to a boss. You know, that's kind of how I see it. So,
well, it's just the same voice that you've been hearing for a while now. So it's not necessarily going to rejuvenate the team or get the team going because it's the same voice, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I think that maybe he had conflicting ideas of playstyle with other players, which is a normal thing in this game, actually. So
yeah. So interesting. Definitely very interesting seeing him go to MVS. That's like very weird to me because Kai Kai is obviously one of the original members, and I don't know, I've always just seen him as a Cloud9 member, but kudos to Gods. I mean, great for Gods.
I was more surprised to see Kai Kai step out than to see him go to Envious to coach. Like, I know him and Hulk are really good friends, and he gets along really well with all of them, but I was still just surprised to see Kai Kai step out, because he was doing relatively well with the team, and the team had but some pretty good success, just need a little bit more practice.
They have a lot of internal personality conflicts. Not like arguments, just like the way I think that they have like way too many strong personalities on their team. Kind of the like the same issue that I think like NRG ran into, where like if one player says like, oh, we should make this play, and then someone argues with them, then suddenly nobody is making the right plays because they're both thinking about the game differently. I think that that's kind of what it came down to. From Kai Kai's perspective, it's a good move, I think. I don't want to say this like negatively, but he'll find more success, I think, with the Envious roster. You know what I mean?
Well, the NBA
from like a monetary perspective and stuff. I mean, like, if he gets hired,
right?
And he got lucky. I mean, like, what's his name? Tasmo's like one of the nicest people I think I've ever met. Like, that's just a great org, I think, to work for.
He definitely is awesome.
So, it's a great group of people.
Let's talk about Gods joining C9. So, we've got, I don't know, I feel like we got three guys now that juggle two spots. So, somebody's got to play flex in there between Mendo, Sherfor, and Gods. And I think they were talking about, just all of them just trading off with the flex positions. How do you guys see this working out? Like, who's going to play DPS? Who's going to be playing flex most of the time, you think?
I think that's maybe the power of the roster. You don't need necessarily someone playing a certain role.
Yep.
Like, one thing I always talked about in Counter-Strike was that the AWP, like the big sniper rifle in the game, who can one-shot opponents and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a sudden rise in Counter-Strike of having two oppers on your team, and from that, like whenever your main opper wasn't feeling comfortable that day, or the matchup wasn't working well for him, or he just wasn't hitting shots, then they would just switch over to the other opper and he'd pick up the role and then generally do better at that position. So maybe it comes down to like what given day, what given map, what given opponent,
who's hot that day around. Pretty much
They have ridiculously good McCree players, they have really ridiculously good Widowmaker players, Tracer players. Like, it just depends on who's feeling it that day is how I think generally they would go, but obviously, they want to start with the baseline of like keeping certain roles, and then can expand once they get comfortable, I would think.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't know. Flame might know better.
Yeah,
than
Flame.
I would.
I mean, what are your thoughts?
I mean, the running joke is that they're waiting for No Hero Limit to come back so they can run the triple
oh my
meta.
God. Okay.
But But seriously, I think that it's more the strength of Mendo, because I think he shot calls probably best out of anyone on that team, I guess, from what I know. So, like, maybe putting him on flex would make the most sense, because I think that he's not really uncomfortable on a hero. I don't think Sherfor is either, but I think, like, you would obviously rather his hit scan over anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I guess from God's perspective, like, it's a toss-up as to whether or not that makes the team better or worse, I guess, because you might have more strong personalities now, or, like, equivalently strong. I don't know how strong God's personality is in-game in terms of, like, shot calling and stuff. Mm-hmm. But
okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, what I heard about Gods and with the energy breakup, it wasn't his in-game that was causing problems that eventually led to that. It was his out-of-game stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like, maybe that was kind of like a nice little sign for him, and he was able to fix some of those problems. Like, it's not my job to release information, but that's generally what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that. I just mean, like, from in-game standpoint, it seems like a weird pickup, right? Like, you pick up someone that maybe, like, I guess you don't want a flex player anymore, really, or you don't want like a dedicated quote unquote like off tank. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want someone that's stuck on Zarya or something, because it hurts your team. I think it's like hurting a lot of teams right now, actually. So
Yeah, you definitely want flexible players.
It might work out for them. Like when you look at the way Envious plays, like they have triple hit scan arguably.
Yeah.
So
I mean, to be fair, like what I heard today, I did an interview with Zappas. He was saying there's a lot of like 3 DPS or 2-2-2 or still triple tank setups on PTR when they scrim people. So if triple DPS comes around, like you said, that's
triple
a fucking scary
DPS.
Team.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's get there, please. That would be awesome to see. Talk about balance here. Obviously, the balance segment of the show. Captain Planet came out with a meta report earlier today, or maybe late last night. I just saw it today, and I obviously love his meta report. We've had Captain Planet on here before, and a lot of it is pertaining to NGE, which obviously isn't every bit of competitive Overwatch right now, but it's definitely interesting to see what people have been playing. And did you guys get a chance to look at this meta report, and what are you guys thinking? Because, he leads off by even talking about just Pharah. We're seeing a little bit more Pharah, and we did. NGE, we definitely saw, like Mangekyou being pretty effective with Pharah in some of those matches. Any thoughts?
You go.
It seems about right. It seems like people are kind of fed up with playing the tanks, like the standard 3-4-man tanks, and playing, for instance, like the Tracer pick, the Pharah pick, the Genji, which can work decently well against the heavy tank setup since there's nothing that can really kill him easily. It seems like kind of what we expected when we saw, not necessarily changes in the game, but changes within the meta itself, like with people kind of adapting and learning like what they can and can't do. The Tracer pick, like that's, like to be that much higher than Soldier, first of all.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's pretty surprising, but I think people are realizing like how damn strong Pulse Bomb is. It's more of like the D.Va, Roadhog, Zarya, though. Like, yeah. Zarya and D.Va both 79%, and Roadhog's at 52. Which, I don't know if that's just due to the caliber of teams necessarily playing in the tournament, or how comfortable they are, or how uncomfortable they are playing with a Roadhog, or don't have a Roadhog player, but that's really surprising to me to see Roadhog at a lower percent.
Yeah. Zarya and D.Va really should be on Tier A here. I mean, they're literally 1% lower than what it should be.
I don't know the map percentages. The thing with NGE is that it was very, I don't want to say it's skewed data, but it's misleading because of the fact that the map pool doesn't change every day. You know what I mean?
That's
like
true.
One day it's the same map pool over and over. So like if you get a King's Row day, your Pharah will go up and a Hanzo will go up. And if you get like Ilios a lot, your Roadhog might go down and your Tracer goes up. And I think that's where we were. It might have been Nepal this week. I don't remember, but depending on the maps, like teams running quad tank, I think if you see quad tank now, or may if you see Zarya instead of 76, which is happening a lot, then like Pharah becomes really good, but that only works on certain maps. And then like depending on the map, Tracer becomes really good. So it's hard to tell because I think that there should have been map data along with this. Maybe there is. And I just
It was Temple of Anubis, Route 66, Watchpoint, Gibraltar, Hollywood, King's Row, Nepal. The maps in the pool this day.
And I think like AKM's been running Tracer exclusively, so he's buffing up that number a lot.
I'm actually surprised the McCree number is so low. I feel like we're seeing some more McCree, more than 4%. Maybe that's more from the Apex games than these games. But it's surprising for me to see that Tracer number. I didn't realize it was that high. Holy crap.
Yeah, Tracer's powerful. I mean, Pulse Bomb gets rid of Mech Suit pretty quickly. A free pick on Reinhardt sometimes if you can get it. It's a good combo.
We've been seeing Tracer on, I think we saw Tracer on even King's Row, like in some of those Apex.
Yeah, AZK has literally just been sitting on it the entire week.
Yeah.
And it's working for Liquid, but.
For Liquid. I think we even saw some in Apex too. So it's really great to see this kind of change happening right now. Is it in anticipation of the upcoming changes, or is this like a natural evolution of what was there?
Also, I think last week, I think actually people were scrimming PTR in anticipation that PTR was going to drop last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that the same thing might have happened with OGN last night.
Yeah.
What the hell is with the OGN picks? Jesus Christ.
Which is what I think happens. So Tracer definitely becomes better next patch because number one, like you can shred D.Va's now pretty reliably and you won't get like 1.0 hooked by Roadhog as often. Like if you blink, it's not going to pull you through a wall anymore. So I think that hero stock is going to start going up. But in terms of teams running dive comp, I mean, back to the original point of like Dragon Blade just wins. Like it doesn't matter how tanky your lineup is. Like a nano boosted Dragon Blade can just shred your entire team if like you get it off. So I think that was more or less last night's matches. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, why don't we just jump into some of the events? You know, it's just balanced talk.
Well, sorry,
and
no, hold on. Ahead, sure. Before we jump into Apex as well, or into the events, because going along with the meta report, I'm curious to see what it would have been for Apex, because we saw a ton of Reaper May. We saw a lot of Reaper, but also a lot of Reaper May again.
In Apex. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? Is this like last patch when Reaper May was like the thing? But like on the CP maps, like Temple of Anubis, we had like two Reapers I remember seeing from both teams.
There was a Winston on one side.
Yeah.
And then like they played single healer Hulk Winston, which they do on like some maps. So then that forced the Reaper to come out from the other side. And then I think Taimu noticed that they didn't have a 76 or a McCree on the side of
It was on Anubis, MVP. Right? We're talking
Anubis, it was on MVPs. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So then when they got to the second point, there was no McCree or 76. So Taimu went Reaper to counter the Reaper. And Reaper's also just good at stalling at the point because you get that little burst of phase walk where you don't have to care about anything going on around you. But I mean, they got cleaned up actually. But I think that was why that happened.
Yeah. We saw all kinds of things actually on the Apex matches. It's definitely great to
those MVP
to talk
players,
about.
Man.
Yeah. Let's get there and just say, but let's talk about NGE just to kind of start off. NGE starting up again this actually today, maybe even right now.
No, it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, maybe an hour and a half. Yeah. Generally, Jason, did you get catch up on a lot of these matches or
I got to watch quite a few of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What are your thoughts? Just with a lot of these teams, because obviously a lot of the top teams are over there in Korea, so it's kind of cool to have this set of teams playing each other. What are your thoughts so far?
I was just pretty damn impressed with Kangarna in general, basically leading the pack, and they have this ridiculous full push on Watchpoint Gibraltar with only a minute into the and then 1 minute after finishing in overtime, and they full pushed against Renegades, who that like was playing extremely well the entirety of these round robin stages until I guess this week or this last week. But I don't know, they really surprised me. They're really coming together as a team, and they're really kind of showing how deep, I guess, the talent pool can be in North America, which is something Europe's lacking without any tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, look at this standings right now. Like, I think a lot of people wouldn't have predicted the standings to be like this to date. And yeah, Kangarn has been definitely one of those teams. Immortals obviously playing great too. I mean, just a solid. You know, I don't know if they're playing like amazing if you compare them to something like Envious, but definitely just really solid generally speaking. Flame, what do you think? Overall, just with the
tournament. I mean, Kangarna, I don't know how Michael does it, but his mech suits are like probably the highest value mech suits in the. I don't want to say.
What do you mean by that?
But in that tournament, like he throws the self destruct and like it always gets a kill or two.
Oh, I see.
And it's like reliably without any setup or anything. Like I feel like he just goes into a server and practices the exact drop locations to get them in like this optimal spot or something.
Yeah.
But they've won a few games just off the back of his self destructs, so they're looking good. The Renegades full hold or full push thing, I think, was a combination of Renegades throwing.
Yeah.
They tried to do like the spawn camp fight, which don't do that. I could do like an hour video on why you shouldn't do that, especially when you only have a minute. Like, really risky, didn't pay off, and then they got slammed. LG looks very good. I have not seen, like, their record doesn't look so impressive. They're only 4-3, but. As from a team perspective and like an individual player perspective, I think that they're starting to look pretty scary as an NA team, because I think this is like the first time that they've played since like the roster switches, or this is the first tournament that they've shown up in since they made the three-way trade. FaZe obviously having a rough time with Mighty A.
I mean, overall, I feel like all the teams except for Citizen 7 are pretty close. I mean, these games, these matches have all been pretty tight and very, very competitive. I don't know if your thoughts are the same thing right now. I mean, you're talking about Luminosity looks like super good right now, but you know their record doesn't show that quite yet. You know that they've been outperforming all these other teams. I know it's early on, and it's just kind of what you're saying, but overall, like right this moment, I feel like all these teams could win this event right now. Like all eight of these or seven of these teams, or maybe six of these teams, could win this event. And that's awesome to see. It's awesome to have an event where you have literally so much parity.
Well, there's one team that can't at the moment, because Complexity is like basically out right
now.
Are
they? Okay, I wouldn't
sure if
they're out.
They have to like win every game and then like hope like Renegades and Luminosity lose all their games.
They still got a chance.
Or hope like Liquid and Renegades lose all their games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not that. I don't know what the schedule looks like, but the gap, like Immortals is 6-1, so like you assume that they're not going to throw their way out. If like any of these teams beat Kangarna, I don't know if they still have to play each other or how that's going to work. Because it's double round robin each stage, right? I'm pretty sure.
I believe so. I believe it's double round robin. I believe they play each team twice.
So, I mean, Complexity could just win. Like, if Kangarna like loses to these teams enough, Complexity could just come out on top, depending on how this works.
No, it's single round robin.
Because it doesn't matter, right? You're just going to be top four.
Okay. Well, anyways.
No, I'm looking through the matches on Wikipedia. But, like, even if like Immortals lost every game, I think they're still going to, and Complexity won every game, I think they're still going to be better than them. I don't know. Does map score come into account or point score come into account when it comes to picking the teams with round robin?
It's tiebreaker, right?
It's tiebreaker. Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, like, so for instance, Immortals, they're 12-4 on maps. So they're like positive 8 in terms of points. Whereas, like,
no, I think it's just a tiebreaker. The record's the most important. And then if you go like a look at the 4-3 guys, right, then they would look at the best, winning or whatever percentage in terms of the maps won.
I mean, it's technically still, it's still anyone's chance. Like, they each play 5 matches more.
Yeah.
So there's still a chance, but I don't know. Complexity has to come up pretty big today, I feel like. Because they play Liquid and Immortals today. So they're playing against number 3 and number 1 team.
How do you think Complexity's playing? I mean, I feel like when I'm watching Complexity right now during this event, it's so much different than that Complexity we were watching at MLG. Like, the Complexity, there were a lot of high hopes for Complexity going in MLG. A lot of people were very high on them after like scrimming against them. I think most teams were saying that Complexity might have been one of the hottest teams actually going into the MLG event, you know, offline at least. And, I was expecting big things for Complexity in this tournament, and seeing them, you know, right now in fifth place or sixth place is really shocking to me.
I mean, when you lose a player,
and
it's your tank player, and he's probably one of the best tanks in NA, then, I mean, obviously you're going to do worse.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's interesting is that one of their losses is to FaZe, not top teams, but it's because Too Easy was on the FaZe roster when they lost to Complexity or when they beat Complexity. So one of FaZe's 2 wins is actually against Cole, which makes them look worse, I think, than it seems. I don't know. Like, if they had beaten FaZe, they'd be 4-3 and they'd be tied. So they're not super out. It's just, I feel like you can't just like cut your tank player and expect results, which is why Renegades dropped. Renegades was like undefeated, I think, until last week.
Yep.
And they like decided to bench Man of Snow mid tournament, and then they lose like every game that week except for like 1 or 2.
Well, especially for Complexity too. Like, you're putting in a tank who went from like 20 MS to like 130 MS.
Yeah,
when really locking Earth Shatter is massive in the current meta, and JKW seldomly ever let Earth Shatters get through.
True.
So that's also a really rough thing for him to have to like adapt to the ping and somehow block like the most crucial ultimate in the game at the moment. Well, one of the most crucial ultimates.
Yeah, so anyways, catch a lot of matches actually in this week, so definitely be sure to catch that as this kind of rounds out into the final stages of this tournament. I feel like it's been going on forever now. these tournaments. It's, how many weeks has it been now?
The qualifiers was in December, if I'm not mistaken.
Like early December.
Was in December.
Yeah, it wasn't late November, right? It was actually in December.
So it's the week before MLG.
Okay, so like the first week of. Okay, so We're going on 5 weeks now. And,
I'm not gonna complain though. Like, if this wasn't happening, what the hell?
I know there'd be literally nothing.
2 Apex matches a day. Like,
that's true. Yeah. No, and again,
we're about to be done. We're actually about, like you say that, but the well's about to run dry in 2 days.
Well, we'll see what kind of events get announced. Like, things seem to just pop up like a week or two before events happen.
Do we know what's happening with the offline finals, by the way, for that? I see it's like San Antonio, but I don't know if that's confirmed.
Oh, for NGE? San Antonio, really?
But I don't know if I'm at liberty. I mean, I heard it's going to be... it's rumored that it might be at PAX.
Really?
Because PAX South is that same weekend, I think.
That would make sense.
But right? I don't know if that's confirmed.
That would be interesting. It'd be odd to have an event at PAX. Like, I mean,
it's like the last weekend of January or something.
Yeah.
So then, like, they have to finish this and then book all the travel and hotels. And
it's next week.
It's 2 weeks for 14. It's like 2 weeks of time, and they have 14. So it's not, I mean, it's not super a lot, but
I think PAX is next week. Yeah, it's next week. So,
that next week, you mean like the 27th, right? Like,
yeah. So. Okay.
It says January, right? Like, there's only a week left anyway.
That's true.
So, it's not this weekend, obviously. So, it has to be next weekend, but that's why I think it's in San Antonio.
Okay. Well, it'd be kind of cool. It would be pretty cool to see a big esport event at PAX. We definitely don't see that often, and especially at PAX South, we don't really see that at all because it tends to be the smallest one.
I'm jealous though. If you're going to PAX South, all that barbecue. Oh my god,
dude! I love it. You know, I'm from Austin. I know exactly. You couldn't eat it anyways. What are you talking about?
I would make an exception. Yeah. I would go on a break. Oh
no, it's definitely great. Good stuff. Pulled pork.
I would like literally have a plate of that next to me while I was casting, and whenever the guy next to me was casting, I'd just sit there eating the whole time.
What, pulled pork?
Anything,
get that. You gotta
like
get that brisket and ribs, man. You gotta get that good stuff. Yeah. Well, shoot, you got to go to Austin. One of the events in Austin, Jason. We got to meet up and take you to some good stuff, man.
Gain 10 pounds.
Exactly. You will. I promise you, you will for sure. It's crazy good. Okay, well, let's move on to Apex Season 2. So the season just started with the first two matches. But before that, they announced the teams. So why don't we take a look at the teams first, and then we'll talk about it. Four Western teams are actually... or have been invited, and just like last time, each of the Western teams are in different brackets. So actually, did they put them in the same brackets last time? I can't remember now. But anyways, each of the four teams are in different groups this time around. So we at least won't be seeing them playing each other until they get out of the groups. And looking at all the groups, I mean, Group B just stands out. It's like, wow, that group is crazy stacked. Like, if you would have thrown Envious in there, probably instead of Misfits, it would just be bloodbath, like crazy, some of the best teams in the world, all in the same group. But overall, what's your thoughts on the groups, Jason?
Poor Misfits. Poor what? Misfits. They can't escape Lunatic High.
Yeah, I know, right? They keep playing them over and over.
I was on Twitter, like, I don't know, last week, and Alakus, he's like, I think, like the GM or whatever, president of Misfits, he DMs me and he's like, I'm tilted. No, like, I don't really talk to him that much, but I think I tweeted out something about like the groups not being announced. He's like, I'm tilted. I was like, why? He's like, my group is ridiculous, but it's not announced yet. He's like, just wait. And then I waited for the announcement and I was like, oh my god, like, sorry dude.
Sorry dude. Like,
apparently there was a big backlash like in Korea for this. I think that they got a lot of think there was like an uproar, actually. I mean, there was a thread about it. I didn't go too deep into it, but I think that the Korean fans were pretty mad about the way that Group B was so stacked.
Oh, they like it spread out more, I guess, with their teams.
Well, like you could argue that any of those three teams, like Blue, Misfits, and Lunatic High, could arguably like make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Like depending on the day, so, or they wanted to at least see. But if you're Misfits now, losing yesterday, it's you have to beat Lunatic High now, or you're just out. Like,
well, I mean,
Crown Robin doesn't give you a lot of room to like wiggle.
Yeah, I mean, Blue looked really good yesterday against Misfits. So, having to beat Lunatic High is going to be pretty tough. I haven't seen Africa. I mean, I haven't seen AFR much. I mean, obviously I've seen AFB, but have you guys seen Red play a bunch? Okay, yeah. So that's a question mark for me. I have no idea how good or bad that team is. But we can talk about some of the other groups. Envious. I think a lot of people thought Envious was an easy group, but then we saw the first match between MVP and them, and it was a great match.
To be fair, right? They haven't practiced in like a month and a half.
True,
like,
but,
I'm not going to take that one too harshly.
Also, to add on to what you're saying, it was Ilios and Anubis. So if there was ever a map you're going to lose when you might have thought you were going to win, it's those two maps.
Okay, sure. But they had an epic They had an epic game on King's Row. That was like a phenomenal game. That was an awesome map. And I mean, watching MVP, they impressed me, at least watching them.
Their alt economy is probably the best I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of just how well, like their defense was very well thought out and they played very accordingly, I think.
Yeah. And spoilers, if you guys don't want to know the results, just stop listening right now because I'm gonna say the results. All right, give me a chance to mute. MDS ended up winning 3-2, but they were down 2-1 at one point, so they actually had to come back and win the last two maps to beat MVP. But you know, it's definitely good for them that they ended up doing that, and they should get through the groups now. I mean, BK Stars might be a bit tough, but Meta Athena, you guys know anything about that team?
They're scary, actually.
Are they? Okay. I don't know anything about them.
They were like called The Meta, I think. Or they went by The Meta. Like that was their team name.
Yeah.
And I think that they got sponsored for this event. I don't know. I talked to Taimu last week before he flew out, and he was saying like there's a team that no one's ever heard of with all these players no one's ever heard of, and they're very good. Okay. I think it's them. So, I mean, I wasn't impressed with BK Stars last season. So I'm hoping – I want to see more of MVP Infinity, but I'm curious as to how good this Meta team is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cloud9's group, it's got KU in it and AFB. So definitely some experienced teams in there. So it'll be good to see how C9 does against them. Conbox too. Yeah, Conbox is actually. Conbox played in China, right? Or did they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't. Okay, no.
For me, it's more like Cloud9 getting Korean experience. The only one team that had it was Surefour at BlizzCon, if I'm not mistaken. No, Adam as well.
I mean, you could argue that the Korean World Cup team was better than Lunatic High, so it's hard to tell. You know?
True, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. Definitely possible.
I'm more worried about like Cloud9 getting swarmed with girls, though. Like, they have a pretty attractive team. Like, Reinforce gets swarmed.
Wow. The things you gotta worry about.
Gets swarmed. Yeah, man. I've seen at some events, I'm not gonna name any names, where women do ruin the performance of a team because some of the players are out busy
in Overwatch
hanging out with them
or in other games.
Practice. Yeah,
in Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch and other games.
Stay away 100% from girls, lands, guys. Okay.
Yeah, girls.
Well, I remember
killer of esports.
NIP and CS:GO. I don't know if they still have this clause in their contract, but they're not allowed to have their girlfriends or any women with them for the entirety of the event. Like, they're not allowed to sleep in the same room, so they actually sleep with their teammates so they can stay focused.
I think that's a normal thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So is there a clause where you can't, let's just say there's a female player, you can't date players either?
I mean, I don't think it'd be the smartest move anyways.
I know, but I'm just saying, it'd be interesting if there's even a clause.
Two easy steps.
That's true. two easy steps.
No internal, it's like a fraternity, you don't date brothers or whatever.
You don't break. There's probably other reasons why people don't usually date brothers though in fraternities. But okay, Fnatic, they've got KP and their Kongdu Panthera, which is a team that a lot of the Western players were saying like were awesome in scrims, just never had any results in any of the events.
That was before Korea. Yeah, they lost Bishop because he couldn't be there due to issues. Mm-hmm. So they looked like a terrible team when they played IM. But we definitely heard the same things about them.
Yeah. So it'd be good to see them, you know, getting a chance to run against Fnatic and Runaway and Flash Lux. So it's a solid group of teams in this season of Apex. Really excited to get a chance to see how it plays out. It's going to be good. How would you guys think of the LW Blue Misfits match? So again, spoilers, guys. Give you a second. LW Blue ended up winning 3-1 over Misfits. And I don't know. It looked pretty... They look like they did it pretty handily, in my opinion, when I was watching it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Any intriguing
match on Volskaya? Where, Misfits got this really weird comp, and Sabiobi got, like, dumpstered in the beginning by Manitin on Widowmaker. But to, like, adapt their style to what they saw all of a sudden was really well done. I think that's, like, a really promising sign of the team. Because that was such a weird comp to come win with. That was, like, Winston, Genji, Widowmaker, Mercy, Pharah, and... I can't remember last one for Zava. Like it's not a very standard comp you're gonna see when playing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard mixed reviews. I fell asleep during this because it was at like, I don't know, really early my time. It was like 5 a.m. But I just like I'm pretty sure that they ran off meta things. Like I think they tried the Lunatic High comp with the Tracer Genji Widow, and it just didn't work. But they stayed on it like stubbornly, and then wound up losing. And I mean, you can't really get away with that. So
they were just maybe experimenting with some things. You think?
Well, so, the way the maps work out, if you mess up one of your like modes that you really should be winning, I guess, or that you think you should be winning, it really can backfire. Like, imagine if Envious had lost the payload map yesterday, like, it would have been a different result. And I think that's kind of what happened to Misfits yesterday, where they just got swarmed by the luxury watch dive comp and couldn't respond to it correctly. Or weren't doing things themselves correctly. I don't know. I have to watch that.
How do you think Misfits looked overall? Because I still think they're still getting into form just with the new roster. Even though we've been saying that for a few weeks now, but
even Reinforce tweeted out like they could have won that match. There was just some problems within the team and like how they played. Like I don't know, they seem to have played better back when we saw them at IEM when they played like a kind of more of a normal style, but they seem to want to bring their own style to the mix by all these like weird picks and weird comps. It's just not working yet.
All right. Well, let's see who's next actually in the matches. Do you guys know? The next couple matches that are going to be shown here.
I can tell you in a second.
Yeah, let me see.
I guess someone involves C9 and Fnatic.
Yeah, I'm almost positive we'll have C9 and Fnatic involved. I mean, they kind of have to, right? Get it going. Or maybe they break it up. Maybe it's just
C9. Spirit versus Cloud9.
Okay, that's a good start.
And Panthera versus Fnatic.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to see that one. That one's going
to
be
pretty. I think they both need to win. Round Robin is so do or die, man. You have to win your first match, I think. Like,
yeah, you have
two wins is good enough. Three wins, like one win is not good. So it's scary. Like Misfits is already against the wall right now, arguably.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough actually, but it'll be pretty epic if they get through. Hopefully they get it together. I'd love to see Misfits just get it together during like mid tournament and make a good run.
I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on like how long this league tournament is. It ends in April.
We know it's like 2 months. We know that.
I have a strong opinion, I guess, and it's not. I mean, it's not a bad one. It's just like I don't know how you feel because you cast full time, but as someone who like is looking for things to do, like as a streamer, I don't even stream like the gameplay that much. Like I'm more about just doing the VODs, and like when there's not that many VODs, it really makes my life worse, I guess. And not knowing what's going to happen with tournaments, because I like NGE, like. I'm down with them, but the fact that like three teams got shuffled in last minute and now there's not going to be any NA tournaments with like arguably the top four or like three teams at the event for three more months is kind of weird.
Generally monopolizing, I guess, the top teams, you know, because and we're looking into the future, right? We're looking in the future where we're gonna have an Overwatch League, they're gonna have all the teams for 6 months, and then we'll have 3 months to play with, maybe 5 months to play, or sorry, 6 months, five months to play with, let's just say. Definitely not a huge fan of organizations nabbing the top teams up and, you know, having just other events have to just like, I guess, mix and match or try to get the rest of the teams, you know, second tier two teams, just for lack of a better name, or even tier three teams. That's definitely tough. At the same time, I think it's good to have a little bit of that because, again, you get to showcase these teams. These teams get a feeling of winning. You know, like winning is a big deal. You know what I mean? Like you have to be successful to actually get enough confidence to continue on and continue into the next phase where you're challenged and you're beat and then you know, kind of continue getting, you know, better. I've always been a huge advocate of that. And I think it's good to have a little bit of it. But to your point, Flame, I think, yeah, I wish Apex was a little shorter, and you know, it's like maybe 6 weeks, you know, maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks, that would be like the max for me. But we're talking about 2 months, solid months, and they're in Korea too. They're nowhere close, you know.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, they're working with a TV studio, so they have obviously a set time slot, like they have to work around that. And it's not a bad thing, it's just from my perspective it makes the scene just a little weirder,
a little
more
stagnant.
Stagnant. Like you're seeing a lot. There's been more roster swaps in the past 2 weeks than there probably have been in the past like 6 months. But I think it has a lot to do with the fact that nobody feels pressured by tournaments. But yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know.
Right. Go, Jason. No? Okay. All right. Well, why don't we, we've got some emails, but before we get to emails, I do want to give a shout out to some of the folks on iTunes. For those you don't know, the overview is available in iTunes as well as other audio channels like Google Podcast and Stitcher and SoundCloud. And do want to give a shout out to some of the folks on iTunes that have left some 5-star reviews and some awesome words for us, or just comments that make us feel good, but also help other folks that are looking for Overwatch podcasts find us. So a big shout out to Johnny Destructive, Moonbeam, Mark MCP, Angry Birds Are Greedy, and KickKick 130. It's the best way to help us out right now, guys. So if you do listen to it on iTunes, or you do have an iTunes account and enjoy the overview, go and leave us a 5-star review. It would be amazing if you do. But let's move on to some Q&A. We've got some emails this week, which is really, really cool. From A Teammates, and actually this is one we got last week, Flame, but it just works out perfectly because I saved it for this week, and yeah, you're on this week. In Flame's recent analysis of PTR update, he mentioned that there's an underlying problem in Overwatch between damage and healing. He said that DPS characters do damage to other DPS heroes, but do not do enough damage to tanks, mostly due to the constant healing they receive. As a solution, he recommended an overall nerf to healing and buff to damage. Any thoughts? So I'll ask Jason this first, given that we flame you.
Wait, I want to clarify, though, before he goes, that I never said buff damage. I said nerf both.
Nerf both. Okay. Jason, what do you think?
I thought we were just going to have Flame just, you know, go on to this one. I didn't think I was going to have to answer that one.
No, well, it was meant for us, given that Flame's analysis of it, right?
So, I mean, do you want me to say my thoughts, and then you can respond?
So is it I guess the argument is based off you're killing damage dealers too quickly and tanks too slowly. So by nerfing damage and nerfing healing, you can not kill damage dealers as quickly?
Well, like, my logic is the problem isn't so much the tanks are overpowered. It's the fact that tanks are, like, the only things right now that you can reliably heal because everything else just gets exploded.
Right.
So, if you play a defensive McCree, there's no way for you to, like, make sure that he doesn't get insta-gibbed by a Roadhog or two-shot by an enemy McCree. So, like, Anna never really gets a chance to heal that McCree. And then Zenyatta doesn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're either being actively healed or you're dead. And that's kind of the way the game is right now. I don't know.
Isn't that supposed to be, like, the downside of playing a DPS? Like, Tracer has 150 HP. She's not supposed to be able to survive, like, a lot of damage.
Well, Tracer has no ability, right? Like, I think Tracer's, like, the exception. I'm talking, like, more like the McCree 76 Reaper-esque kind of things, where, like, if you turn a corner into a flashbang, you're just kind of dead. There's no, like,
right,
anti-heal for you. Or, like, if 76 two-taps your head and shoots a rocket, you're just kind of dead, as most heroes.
I think the
issue is that there's no skirmishing. It's just kind of, like, for DPS classes in general, it's, like, there's not enough skirmish. It's mostly, like, first click wins, arguably. I don't know. That was more or less what I was saying.
First hook, or stuns, or whatever it is.
I think something like this can be mitigated. Like, that's obviously one way of doing it, but, like, what about adding a hero who could instantly, like, shield someone? I don't know. Like, obviously you have Zarya, right? But, like, what if there's a support that could, like, pull someone to you, like, on your team, or, like, offer a shield or overhealing? I don't know. Like, that's something that I would have to, like, literally sit and think about for a little bit, to think about, like, the ramifications of nerfing one, nerfing both. Like, it also challenges the whole mindset of should you expect, like, a hero like McCree to survive, like, a combo from someone? Like, even if it is a McCree, if he flashbangs and headshots you, isn't that, like, a level of skill as well to be able to pull that off? Or is it too reliable of a thing so it shouldn't necessarily happen? I don't know. That's like, a really hard question to answer, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, my only thought was, just nerf headshot damage and maybe the game would be a lot different. Just across the board.
Just make it harder to kill people, or at least harder to kill DPS best characters.
Like, I mean, you can rebalance everyone's damage. So, like, there's, like, some, maybe you have to, like, bring up someone else's damage. Like, maybe McCree's left click needs to go up a little bit because the headshots are less valuable. I was just more saying, like, if a McCree and a 76 turn a corner, it's more or less who shot first, as opposed to, like, who can position themselves. I mean, obviously positioning is a big thing, but if you're outside of a Reinhardt shield right now, you're usually just dead.
I think a World of Warcraft, like, arena when it comes to this. Like, in early arena, it wasn't about surviving for a long time and having these half-hour fights. It's about, like, who could burst someone down the quickest. And then, like, later on in World of Warcraft, it became of, like, who can outlast the other opponent longest. It wasn't more about bursting. It was just like kind of who can last the longest in a fight and kind of outplay in the long run against someone.
Well, it's all the little things.
I kind of see something similar to this.
Yeah, it's all the little things. Like you want all the little minute details to really add up to, you know, a win versus just sudden things that sometimes can be lucky. You know, as skilled as these guys are, sometimes it can be a lucky shot or a lucky whatever, and then it just, you know, caps somebody and it just completely swings a fight. I think it is better to have the players show like skill for a longer period of time as in these fights, these team fights, these skirmishes, and it's fun to watch too. Like we actually get a chance to see how badass these guys are.
Well, look at World Cup with like Taimu, right? Mm-hmm. On Dorado, where he got like four headshots at the end of Fetty
right.
by himself.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's 100% there. I just think like the weird balance between I'm down with Roadhog insta-aiming people. I'm not like saying we should nerf Roadhog again. I'm just saying like obviously you can outplay Roadhog with positioning. I just meant more like there's no real way to like I don't feel like Ana gets the same value out of healing a McCree. Like I don't think she'll ever get that value, or like even like Zenyatta to an extent right now. So like you wind up in this weird spot where heroes are kind of dependent on the healers because like the healers are more effective with certain like. There's like a whole flow chart, I think, in my head that I can't really explain in words without a long-winded explanation. But
right.
I think it was more or less the fact that most firefights are over within like a second between DPS classes.
I think you're onto something. There's definitely some tweak. I don't think it's far off. Like I think it's pretty close. It's just there could be a little bit of tweaking there for sure. All right, Diego A, this last question, we're actually running out of time here, but he asks, there are some problems in the current state of the competitive community, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, just CP, 2CP maps and replays, things like even map, you know, just map bans and proper stats and things like that. And his question is, do you guys think that all of these things will find its way into the Overwatch or will find its way into the game before the Overwatch League comes out? And if not, which of these features do you think Blizzard's highest, I guess, has as the highest priority right now?
Yes. Why? There's no reason I could possibly see with the amount of time they have and the amount they're still working on the Overwatch League, that all of these little features aren't going to be done by them. Like, they have to be. You cannot launch a league like this with having sports investors of multi-million dollar or billion dollar teams into this league and not be prepared to this extent.
Yeah, Flame? Okay. Flame?
Yeah, I mean, I hate being the naysayer. It's just, I actually get scared personally about, like, the longevity. Like sometimes I come off as like super toxic or angry at like the game or the developers or something, but it's mostly I'm actually just like afraid, and like I've been afraid since last year, and I'm not super afraid now because like I know the esports team is like super hardworking and I love all of them, but when you get to the nitty-gritty of like the inner game workings, it gets a little scary. Like the vision that like the esports team has, like Nate and like everyone on like under him, is like very good, and like I love all of it. But when you get like when look what Jason's saying, like if you don't have replays and stuff and like in-game spectating, it like it starts to get a little weary as to like how big it can get in like certain time frames, and like you wonder like how important the initial time frame is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that first month, I think, is usually like it's a big deal. Like that first couple of months. I'm not saying that like games haven't bounced back or anything. It's just
no. I want... the first impression is a huge thing. So you know, when you present this giant product, which is the Overwatch League, to spectators, it's got to just wow and impress people. And particularly the esports scene, you just can't be missing things that are considered requirements now in terms of esports. And replays definitely are something, you know, just even in terms of behind the scenes, you just have to have replays. I'm confident they'll have replays for sure. I'm confident these map issues, you know, with 2CPs and that can, you know, that can be figured out, even just like map banning and things like that. I mean, that's stuff that you can fix like right now instantly. You know, it's just organization. It's more of an event organizer's decision. And proper stats are already there. It's just a matter of, you know, laying it out. So I'm a little bit more in the bucket of Jason where, yeah, all these things can be fixed. The one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is still spectator. I still don't think we're there, like in terms of watching. Like even OGN, it's just like there were times we were just stuck. I mean, they tended to focus on the attack team, which is fine, but we're just stuck on Tracer. You know, like we're literally just watching Tracer, even though, you know, they're playing super well. You know, the Tracer character is playing, or whoever it is playing awesome, but it's not easy to watch if I didn't know Overwatch. You know, it's still not there. So that's the part that I'm not sure will be, you know, like top tier whenever the Overwatch League is ready to go. And we might not be at that moment like ready for that. But everything else, I think, should absolutely be in place and ready to go. So
I looked at like the in-game schedules and streams and features and stuff like that. Guaranteed should be in there. Like, there's no way we're gonna go into a league and have the viewership we have now and say, hey, sponsors, look, we have 100K like peak. Like, that just it, like, how as a sports team or a sports team owner are you gonna say 100,000 cool, we get every week millions? Like, you're gonna need to bump up those numbers, and the easiest way to do that is make it so absolutely. People can watch the
you gotta inflate in those numbers client. That's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I've been giving feedback pretty consistently daily about the Spectator UI, just in getting the colors. Like, actually, like, this is, if I'm going to change one thing right now, it's that red. That red needs to go right now.
I hate the red, dude. Totally hate it.
Trying to find a way to make it work. The new font in PTR is very good. If anyone's watching this, it's a Blizzard. True. The new PTR font is very good on Spectator, but the red, like, it just, it can't, you can't do it. Stop trying to do it. Stop trying to make red happen. Some Mean Girls stream now.
Some Mean Girls stream. We still got to figure out third party, just like overhead views a little bit better too. There needs to be a lot of time spent on that from just cam folks and figuring out how to get the best perspective, how to get best perspective when you know, teams are obviously wiped and then coming back from the point, or maybe even when just like there's a single hero that's being stalled out on purpose by the other team, right? Just to kind of, just delay the spawns, right? Just so and those kind of things I think are not portrayed like very well in terms of like the Spectator. There's an art to it. God, there's such
fair,
an art
though,
to it.
Like, look at Spectator the game first started, look at Spectator now. Like,
oh no, there's improved.
Like, even even a casting, I think it just takes time.
Well, there's people that are dedicated now to it. Like, I'm not gonna speak to NGE. Yeah. I think NGE is in a weird spot because they didn't hire outside. Yeah. Yet I don't know if they're hiring outside for LAN, but the MLG guys, like, there's like people now that are, and like I think the people that were at MLG were mostly the same people that were at World Cup, and they're like dedicated now themselves to like, how do we spec this, what's the best way to look at this ult, like how do I figure out the game, blah blah blah. So I mean, in an ideal world, right, you'd get like a delayed stream and then the like auto camera, which would know who made the plays because it would be showing 10 seconds later from that perspective. Like, you could do a lot of stuff like that, like Dota has, but we're not there yet. So that stuff's going to come in time. I'm just like really scared, I guess, of like, what if we don't get the, I want in-game spectating. Like, I don't care how bad it is. I just want to be able to say like, oh, there's a 4,500 SR match going on right now. I want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't
see that player who's purposely trolling to lose the game.
Yeah, exactly. You report them. Yeah, then you
exactly.
Report them.
Oh, that's true. You could go. Yeah. That's maybe that's the anti-hacking the tool that they're making. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that there are people working on it. It's just I feel like we're not clear on what it's supposed to look like, because we, you know, what's good to watch, or you know, Spectator Overwatch doesn't have to be in-game Overwatch. Like, it doesn't have to be CSGO where it's like you have to see the head snipe, you know, headshot sniping and things like that. Definitely there are moments that we do want to see that, but we have the ability to have Overwatch look more like MOBA-esque than we do, you know, first person, you know, like CSGO-ish. We have those options, and it's like figuring out exactly what we want it to look like. Is, I don't think we've determined that yet. Like, I don't think Blizzard even knows that yet. And it's still a kludge of both and trying to figure that out. Because definitely in team fights, it's much better to see it from above. It's more impressive to show the player's skill from first person, but it's much more better composition-wise from above, in my opinion.
Ideally, we'll get to a situation where like team fights don't happen as quickly after another, so you can have the fight break down, like happen with whatever person you're watching, and then re-show the fight in free cam, and then like what we did in LCS, Well, eventually what we did in LCS was you'd see the fight and then they'd do it a replay and give the color caster time to talk about what happened and where happened and how the fight broke down.
Right.
It'd definitely be a lot better if you have like that option eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fights happen so often, it's really hard to squeeze in a team fight, you know?
It is. And it's not an easy job.
Get all the angles you need.
It's not an easy job. Like, I'm not saying it is. You know, and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe they haven't figured it out yet. I'm not saying that by any means. It is like probably the hardest thing to do in terms of production of Overwatch is figuring out still how to show it. You know, it's the most complex thing to watch, no question. And, you know, if we figure it out, holy shit, it's going to be just absolutely incredible. Like, no question. I think even with that said, I still think the Overwatch League will still have, you know, immense success. I don't know if it's going to be top esports, you know, right off the bat or anything like that, but it'll definitely have like a good amount
of success.
It'll
be really cool.
Yeah.
If like you can't in-game spectate to have the ability to like, I just want to watch your first point of view the whole game, but I want to hear the casters, you know, like to be able to just watch a player's point of view and listen to the casters at the same time. If you can't obviously be in the game like Counter-Strike or something.
I mean, that's like Dota. Yeah. I mean, you want Dota TV. And I think like, I mean, I'm not saying that they should go copy everything from Dota, but I think a lot of the things that Dota has is very, very impressive from a spectator perspective or just like someone who doesn't actually want to play.
They leverage the client to do that. You know what I mean? Instead of having production, you could have a separate stream or you could have us, you know, multi-streaming type of thing. You know, like ESPN has like all these, if you watch like some events, right? ESPN's streaming a solution, there's like, I forget what it's called, but there's something that literally shows like four different camera angles, like in a basketball game or something. And, you know, you're watching all those at once instead of just a single cam. I mean, you could do something like that on a stream too. It's more about you can create production that makes up for not having that client solution. So you can do it one of, you know, whichever way is probably the quickest and easier for them. Yeah, that would be an added value, I guess, and an added way of watching the games, which is pretty cool.
Plus in-game drops.
In-game drops. Oh, yeah. We had one, right? We actually had a... Wait, what do you mean in-game drops? Maybe I'm interpreting it wrong.
Like, if you're watching the game when the match is happening during, like, the event, you have a chance to get, like...
Oh, you mean drops. Okay, yeah. You mean, like loot box cases and stuff like that. Yeah, that's true. I thought you meant, like, the game dropped, and then we actually had that kind of happen, right?
I want those jerseys. I want jerseys, man. Like, I load up streams, and there's probably a way to do this. I'm just really bad at, like, reading the graph at the top.
Yeah.
But, like, figuring out which team is on defense and which one's on offense the second I join a stream, I think, is important, and I can't do that right now. I've been watching this game a lot.
Apex does it well, right? They have like A and D or something like that on like the sides on the very right hand side or left or right hand side, depending on where you're looking.
I've never seen that, but you're probably right.
NGE, maybe.
Someone's probably doing it, but the point is like it's not standardized. So I don't look to that. But yeah, it's the because in TF2, I think like blue is attacking, red's defending, but that's not like my brain just breaks and it's just like a habit. But I wish that, like,
yeah, somebody brought that up last
week. Nice, nice blue jerseys.
Oh, you mean the rosters? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wait, did you want the
option?
You want the heroes, or you just want them to?
No, I want the heroes. Like, I want I want a default like jersey skin, and then you just pick the two colors that go on it, and that's it.
Yeah,
you do that in the lobby, and it's easy and nice and clean. And no questions asked.
That's true. I think that would be pretty nice too. Just get rid of the red, guys. Get rid of the red.
It's the red.
Or the red
Make
letters.
Them the orange team. The red like letters. Blue versus orange.
The red letters. Okay, well, I think that's it for the questions this week, guys. Yeah, great episode. Nice, solid hour 40. But why don't we do some shout-outs now? Flame, great having you back. You want to do some shout-outs? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitch, Discord. I think my Discord will probably be pretty big tonight. I don't want to advertise in here.
But, why? That's what you're supposed to do.
I will join my Discord. It's discord.gg/flame. We'll do some NGE analysis casting. I don't know who I'm going to get tonight, if anyone's going to come. Last week we did it with Too Easy and
Taimu.
That was pretty funny, actually.
That's cool.
You got Too Easy like the week after he got cut. Had a pretty salty cast, but...
So you're just saying everyone was shit, I bet.
No, but it was just he only wanted to come in when Faze was playing, and then... He'd be like, they cut me for this.
They cut me for this. Oh my god!
It's like I could have won it for them. I could have made that play.
No, he was saying because there was like a weird tiebreaker scenario where if like Complexity had beaten someone and someone had lost to someone else, FaZe was going to win the tiebreaker versus Cole because they beat them head to head, but they only beat them head to head because he was there. He's like, I literally would have gotten them through this tournament. This was really funny. But
okay, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had Taimu analyzing the meta, talking about random stuff.
Yeah,
Taimu's always a blast. But
yeah, he is.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, of course,
yeah,
man.
You definitely should.
Definitely. Jason, where can people find you?
Twitter, Twitch. Though I haven't streamed in like forever because I get too salty and play ranked. Shout out to parents like every week for let me do what I do. Chairman for having the show. Flame for joining us. ESL for let me do Overwatch. And the viewers.
Yeah. Yes, the viewers are good. Definitely the viewers are good.
I wanna badmouth you for a second because I looked at your Twitch today and it's or your Twitter and it said I'm streaming and I clicked your link and it was only an hour later and you weren't streaming.
Yeah, I didn't want to play.
Dude, rule number one to streaming, you have to stream a long time.
It's a lot of work. Dude. And I like being lazy sometimes and I know
how that feels too, dude. It's like
I don't want to play Overwatch. Like I hit my mark that I want to hit this season after like a long strenuous 12 hours a day
for
an entire
else.
Week playing
play something
yeah,
else
but,
it's
like
yeah, no it's hard likes. To go variety it really is like even I've tried. There's so few games that are fun right now. Maybe it happens, right?
Well, it's the off season. It's the off season, right? Like there's no games that come out during this time. So
yeah, but the thing is, like Overwatch is really good from a casual perspective. But once you start playing ranked, your mindset just goes into like the. I know
exactly what you mean.
It's completely it's like someone just dumps the thing of salt in your head. Unless you go for 13 hours, in which case your brain shuts off.
Yeah, you don't care. You're just like a zombie pushing play. Play. Exactly. But I'll round things out. Thanks to the two of you guys for doing the show. Those of you that might be wondering where Ben is or Fish Sticks is, he's just boggled down with some work right now. So that's why he wasn't here. But he'll be back next week, guys. So don't worry about that. You can find the VODs for the overview on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChanManV. Any of the previous episodes too. We've done some awesome episodes, so definitely go back and check those out because it'd be nice. Also, we're available to audio folks on iTunes as well as Google Podcast and SoundCloud, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, all of those things. So if you have anything that you listen to podcasts on, you can find the overview there just by searching for the overview or Overwatch. And I want to plug the Twitter account too for the show because I'm always terrible at doing it. Definitely follow the show at The Overview GG. And you'll find out just the latest on the show, like who's going to be on and, you know, all that good stuff. But that's going to be it, guys. So for Flame, Jason Kaplan, and myself, ChanManV, we'll see you next week. Later.